Hello and welcome to the ILC Home Podcast series. I love claims, as you know, with the banner headline, "I've been better tomorrow from what we learned today." And I guess that's very, very important in the current environment. I'm Alan Sutter, the chair of I Love Claims Home and Commercial. And today we're going to follow up our recent webinar looking at the building supplies emergency. But before we do that, let me just first of all say a big thanks to our corporate partners, without whom all these free webinars and podcasts wouldn't be as simple to broadcast. So that's Innovation Group, CoreLogic, iCab, Carpenters, SiteCall, SafeLine, Synergy. Thanks very much for the help. We really do appreciate it. And quick couple of plugs. If you want to go to the ILC Home Commercial Lunch, you're probably too late because it's sold out, but we'll let you know if anything becomes available. And another plug for the Home Conference, which will take place on the 11th of November at the Rico Arena. If you want to talk about that, just let me know at alan@iloveclaims.com. If you're interested commercially and looking for some sponsorship, the details haven't come out, but if you contact Nick, N-I-C, at iloveclaims.com, he'll be able to help you out with that one. Panel today to help us consider where we're moving with this. I'm very pleased to have along Lee Nicol from CoreLogic, Liam Hanlon from the Foreshore Group, and Steve Gelder of the Gelder Group. Just to get a realistic handle on what's going on in all these areas. Any comments, any questions, any suggestions that you have following this, please just let me know at alan@iloveclaims.com. We will be following this up with another look at the situation in a couple of weeks at a webinar. We will probably move towards what people are able to do about it, how we're going to resolve the issue, because this issue is actually about how we help policyholders and give customer service when it goes through. Some of the things we're going to discuss today are going to demonstrate it's difficult. It's the end user, the end customer for us all that we're going to have to be able to help. So that's broadly the background. We have seen lots of headlines in the last couple of weeks since we first broadcast. We've seen headlines that the construction activity costs are reaching a record high. The material shortage poses the biggest challenge to house builders. If it's a challenge to house builders, it's going to be a big challenge to us. It's very difficult to begin to hire some of the trades. We know that as well. It's becoming a perfect storm. The availability, I guess, is quite variable in terms of supplies and building materials, but the costs are certainly increasing from a lot of the evidence I see. There are conflicting reports about how much an increase is an increase, and that's affecting our industry, where the margins are pretty tight as it is. So let's first of all catch up. We'll start with Steve. The same question to you. Since the last webinar a few weeks ago, what's happened, Steve? And just from realistically from the front end, what's the current position?
Well, I think there's a bigger realisation 2 or 3 weeks on from when we did that first webinar on it. I mean, if you're in the construction industry, you know that your costs are going through the roof, and you know that you can't get hold of materials, and you know that you've got a skill shortage, and you're forever, and I'm sure Liam will back this up, you're juggling trades, and then you throw in coronavirus and people self-isolate, and it's been pretty tough. But for people outside the industry, looking in, I think there's suddenly a bit of a realisation. They might have realised when they bought a can of paint or whatever to paint a fence that seems a little bit more expensive. But when you're buying the amount of quantity that the likes of Liam and themselves will be buying, you know, every 5% it hits your bottom line quite hard. So I would say there's a bit of a realisation, and then there's a bit of, well, it can't be that bad. You know, I've emails from a few insurers and answered, like, how can we help? And it's like, well, look, if Persimmon or Tarmac can't get hold of cement, I don't think an insurer is going to really be at the front of the queue dealing with some of the manufacturers. So I think what I would say, there's a realisation, and then there's kind of a, can it be really that bad? You know, but it is getting really bad. And like I say, it's a perfect storm at the moment. So,
Liam, from your point, how's this affecting you? You're trying to give the service that you always give, but it becomes difficult on two fronts. One, you have a cost, or three fronts. One, you have a cost challenge on materials. Two, you have a continuity of job challenge or a start job challenge with materials. And three, it's getting a bit tougher to get the right trades to do that, especially if there's going to be a bit of downtime in between.
Yeah, most definitely, Alan. I think, as Steve has alluded, I think we've come from a huge period of uncertainty with COVID and Brexit and all the other issues that have been thrown at us. And we're moving into a greater period of uncertainty. So I think, you know, the stresses that creates on the business, just in the day-to-day management of your staff and your resource, it's a very worrying period for any business leaders trying to maintain the service levels and the quality and the timescales that we're trying to adhere to for all these great brands and clients that we're working for. I think it's all got a huge knock-on effect from this uncertainty around material availability and costing. You know, we've already seen huge increases through the year, more predicted. You know, there's percentages being bandied around, and, you know, without going into specific material items, it's going to affect every building material that we deal with. We'll see an increase in cost. We'll also see extended periods of availability. And some material lines are quoting 12 weeks leading now. So I think as an industry, as a supply chain, I think, you know, we're kind of at the bottom end of that in terms of the pecking order of what we can do. You know, we can stockpile certain items, but they have a shelf life. Plus, we've got to balance that off with the volumes that we're delivering. And then around payment terms as well, because for businesses like ours, you know, we don't get paid until the job's signed off. With all these increased in costs, with all these stretched times in terms of delivering the service, to get to the point of invoice and then negotiating the payments, huge impact on the businesses. So I think at the top end, you know, these manufacturers and suppliers really need to look at where the raw materials are coming, how they're being managed and produced, and how they can be delivered in the quantities that we need as a whole. National industry within the country, you know, and we're just a tiny part of that. So I think it brings us back to that first point of uncertainty, and it's very worrying.
Lee, you know, broader background in different parts of the industry, but this almost perfect storm, I guess, has been caused by too many things to just look at one area that we can fix it. And even in labour rates, I think I read was it yesterday or today, that labour, was this labour vacancies or something like a 20-year high? So we've got, from what we heard from the original webinar, all the reasons from COVID to Suez Canal to infrastructure investment in different parts of the world causing one item, and now we've got increased demand causing both items. How do you kind of, I guess in the middle of all of this, somewhere between insurers and suppliers, how do you begin to resolve this issue?
Yeah, it's a fascinating sort of challenge, really, isn't it? I think, you know, casting my mind back sort of 18 months ago when we were sort of facing off into the, you know, we were sort of talking about post-Brexit and then the uncertainty of where, you know, the COVID pandemic was going to take us. And now we're sort of here on the, you know, riding that kind of almost ripple effect on the supply chain. And I think as both as Lee and Steve have talked about there, articulated, that there's so many moving parts to this puzzle. There isn't a kind of single, you know, one single thing that you can sort of pin down and say, well, if I can, you know, grab that risk and contain that, I've got a good chance of kind of stabilising all these different moving parts. I think the fascinating bit for me is just that challenge about, you know, sort of really surfacing those operational pressures and challenges that businesses are kind of feeling today. I'm being able to kind of almost, you know, unpick and, you know, sort of separate the things that are kind of demand sort of pull, you know, demand push sort of levers versus supply chain sort of pull issues. And what's kind of shorter, relatively short term versus what are going to sort of emerge as those continuing long term trends. So I know I've not been around the industry as long as Steve and Liam, certainly, but from when I joined in the 90s, the whole kind of question around, have we got adequate labour, have we got the right sort of skill sets, what are we doing to continue that investment? And you think about the You know, the sort of last big recession in 2008, where we saw a huge slew of sort of trades leave the industry, and have we filled that sort of, have we backfilled that gap? Are we still sort of trying to catch up there? And now we've got this sort of huge demand sort of pressure sort of looming on the wider construction industry. So I think I kind of sort of, you know, coming back to it for ourselves in the middle, it's about, there's lots of different moving parts, lots of sort of, you know, from a distance complex sort of question points to sort of unpick. And it's about being able to sort of bring those things together into one space to, I guess, to be able to articulate the question, to have the right data, if you like, to sort of go, these are the pinch points. This is the data that informs us. So what can we do about it? How do we start to unpick those conversations, you know, from a line point of view?
And certainly, right there, data is important. I think some of the difficulties we're having this time is we used to look upon data in the last 3 months as being very relevant and up to date, but at the moment, that's challenged, isn't it? But let's look more practically then, as it affects insurers and policyholders. So, on the claims and jobs that you're dealing with, Steve, what impact is this having in the claims?
Well, we're seeing a lot of delayed starts, but it's more getting the jobs over the line, if you know what I mean. If we're having things turn up where for UPVC products seem to be a particular problem. And so you'll get a lot of the job done, but then you can't get the new window in, so you can't get on with the decorating and finish the plaster around the ceiling. And it just creates lots of inefficiencies, really. So we're seeing, and the thing is with the insurer's data, we'll be told about this in kind of October, because we're seeing it now. I always think the way the data's run is a little bit, I think I said it before, looking, driving your car in a rear view mirror. So even Construction News, they're coming out with May's data and saying, Christ, yeah, material costs on average are up over 10% from May to May. But I'm sure Liam will confirm is a lot of these rises are coming in June, July, and we're receiving letters about price rises coming in August. So we're trying to run our business driving forward, but the data is behind us. So until that data kind of bubbles up, it's hard to deal. Clients are kind of saying, well, our data is showing this, but their data probably is back in the latest data is maybe April or something like that. So it will come through, but the impact on claims is just longer durations, you know, not being able to start them as quick as people would start. And that's all you can do, really. You know, it's like a funnel. And if the funnel's kind of blocked, it just slows everything down, which then has a negative effect in your invoicing levels and your cash flow. And it just becomes a bit of a real headache to manage, if you know what I mean. So that's where we are with it, and you've got to try and deal with it.
And it is, and I think we've proven that last year, other years, we can deal with this well, but it is a difficult issue to grasp because of that changing relevance of current data. So again, I want to go back, Liam, to the impact it's having in claims. Steve said, as I guess is logical, you know, jobs are taking longer once they're on there because of delays. They might be taking longer to start to try and organise it properly. So leaving aside that we know the commercial impact that would have on repairers, how are the policyholders you're dealing with reacting to this and understanding it?
I think policyholders, you know, they want the repairs doing, same as everybody else. Quite often they don't understand these delays because we are the nominated supplier. We are the brand. We are the people that are there to magic these things to be done in a timely fashion. I think, but, you know, certainly right now it's kind of the perfect storm of everything that could cause a delay is thrown in the mix. You know, the biggest impact we're seeing at the moment are these ridiculous guidelines from the government on how we are to cope with COVID. These 10-day isolations that we're experiencing, you know, the drop of a hat, you know, takes us weeks to organise work. And then because somebody has been within breath distance of somebody who might be positive for COVID, it causes this whole chain reaction of isolating. You know, that impacts all our trades, all our office staff, all the movements of supplies and labour. And basically, it's just a huge back office impact that insurers will never see, because it's we're paying that directly through all the kind of reworking of the booking and of the work. You know, the impact of that, as Steve said, just creates longer life cycles, causes more frustration for customers, because we're having to phone them up with reasons for delays. And, you know, not just one delay, could be multiple delays. Then we get delays in materials or material unavailability. And just adds to that frustration for the policyholder. I don't know, you know, we're kind of holding it together at the moment, but very worrying looking at this future impact. As Steve said, we're already seeing increased prices on invoices now that the industry won't even be aware of, because they won't review it for another quarter. By that time, you know, businesses will be struggling. You know, we've got the end of all the support, so companies will start to feel a pinch with the lack of support from government. They'll see all the holidays for tax and VAT and CT and everything else coming through. That'll have a huge impact. So I think, you know, the industry really needs to look at what they want from their supply chain, from their contractors, and then really address what support they can realistically give. You know, not just say they're going to do it. Let's sit down, work out a plan so that everybody can come through and, you know, we can deliver on all them promises and all these services that we say that we can do.
It is a challenge, Liam. That's for sure a big challenge. Lee, I'm looking at this now. I understand where they're coming from, but I can hear the other side saying, oh gosh, here we go again. You know, the contractors are whinging. We've had it before. We had it a year ago with cash flow. We did it. We recognise there's a problem out there. How do we size this problem to get people to understand it? And I want to go back to where I started with this one. We have to be able to support, as suppliers, you want to support your clients, but at the end of the day, we're trying to support the people who are making the claim, the people whose property is affected. Understand that if it's a big job, then the insurer's going to have to pay more alternative accommodation, etc., if that's going on. I understand all of that, but at the end of the day, they don't want to be out of the house any longer. And it's the inconvenience for people who are still present in the house while an elongated repair is taking place. So how can we make sure that our clients understand the problem that may be facing their policyholders?
Yeah, it's a great question, and really... You know, that some of the examples there from Steve and Liam really kind of resonate. You know, in terms of say my sort of you know, background and experience across the industry over the last 20 years or so. I think it just kind of articulates just how, I guess, we're fortunate to have a resilient supply chain in insurance today, in the likes of, you know, Foreshores and Gelders, for example. And, you know, the fact that we've got sort of parties out there that are sort of actively looking for ways to sort of counter some of these challenges. But I think, you know, to Liam's point, it's about how do you join the dots through the whole process, right the way back up to both the insurer and the customer, who, you know, is on that sharp end, as you say, Alan. Their interest is about getting the repair done and getting it done with you know, minimum inconvenience. Similarly, they'll be feeling the challenges of, as you say, the sort of 10-day bubbles, as you know, that they're being sent back from home, or they've got children coming from school. So it's all those sort of moving parts again. And it's about how do you take those things and put them into, I guess, a kind of a shared space. So I think particularly where you've got lots of different elements of the supply chain coming in, and you know, a great point from Liam about how do you effectively move all those parts around when something has to change. And how do you do it without having to sort of stop and go, I need to go and tell somebody in the insurance company this is happening, then I need to talk to the customer, then I need to go back and talk to the supplier. And I'm trying to have four different conversations at once, and all the time I'm getting this sort of pressure coming up going, but why, you know, and there's a whole knock-on effect. So it's about, I guess, how do we bring all those things together? And of course, I'm going to say, you know, there's technology that sits somewhere in the middle of that in terms of helping us to, you know, enable, make things more transparent in terms of actually what happens in the supply chain today, just giving that sort of greater visibility of all the things that, you know, these guys have to sort of contend with and manage and spin around. And I think then it's just that gives, you know, articulates kind of a better narrative, richer understanding of the you know, managing customer expectations kind of day one, really, isn't it? That says, if we're going to take your claim through this particular route because that's your choice, you do understand there are, you know, bottlenecks and pressure points at the moment that are going to affect you, your kind of start date. So are you ready for, you know, for the repairs to sort of be, you know, go back a couple of weeks? I guess we faced these challenges last year, and we know, you know, for some customers that's fine. You've got that kind of acceptance. Others it's a bit more of a challenge. I think the other bit I kind of wanted to sort of reflect on as well is you've got all those kind of moving parts and challenges around the supply chain for the repair. I think for insurers, it's about kind of reflecting on the kind of mix of claims that are coming through as well. We've seen a kind of different, I'm sure Steve and Liam have seen it as well in the last 12 months, the different sort of volumes and types of claims that have come through as a result of, changing work patterns for customers more being at home, all that good stuff. So I think there's the whole raft of variables that will be kind of moving at the moment in terms of volumes, types of claims. And I think it's about how do you sort of join all those dots together, have everybody kind of looking at what all the right things in the right place.
Okay, I think that's fair, but let's move practically and look forward. So I'm trying to see how we're reacting, because at the moment, this is low volume time of year, isn't it, in terms of back to claims. So that may increase a bit as the year goes on. If we are opening up to an extent, then of course that may mean more of a return to normal. So things like escape of water claims, where we've seen the numbers hold, but the value drop. So the severity of things, claims, which we've seen these changes might return again. So how, as an industry, how are we reacting to this thing? We know it's difficult. We know it's complicated. We know it's tough on the front end. We know it's tough for the insurers to make the right decisions when this sort of stuff comes. How do you feel we're reacting to it at the moment?
Is that aimed at me?
Yeah, sorry, Steve. Yeah.
Well, I think I did my business reviews with all my different businesses earlier this week. And the difference between the demeanour of the insurance team, just to be honest, looked tired. And you said we've got a resilient supply chain. Insurers have got a resilient supply chain. We've got some fantastic guys in that area of the business. But I'm trying to view this as an opportunity because I'm a businessman and an entrepreneur, if you like. And it's great that we've got a resilient supply chain. But what I really want to be in is in a profitable supply chain, if you know what I mean. So that inevitably there's going to be a lot more, the prices are going up without any doubt, but we're in such demand, and Liam will give a say. I mean, although it's low claim volume time, our order book year on year is well up. It's probably 20-25% higher than it was a year ago. We're getting daily calls from some clients about the cash settle this claim out, the policyholder can't get the work done, so could we step in and do it? We can, but we're facing a background. I mean, the Golder business is just not insurance, not all insurance. It's an important part of the business. But when the other guys were coming into the business reviews, we are having stories of contractors collapsing. So we've been sent 80 voids, for example, for a housing association. We are working this weekend for a food company, and they're paying us double time and basically whatever we want if we'll come in over the weekend. I got a job yesterday that I priced in 2019, which we lost, and then it's been started and stopped, and then the company doesn't want to take it on anymore, so they now want to talk to us. So there's opportunities for us out there, and I'd like the opportunities because we have some very good relationships, and we work with some really good people in the insurance industry. But I just feel the insurance industry isn't quite as quick as reacting as a huge food company, for example. I played with a golfer, the procurement director of a food company the other night. They just put all their drivers' wages up by 20% because they were losing their drivers. But insurance company can't just turn around and do that, and I get it. But some of our other blue chip clients are saying, no, we're busy, we need this, our share price is up, we want you to do this, so what will it cost us? So we just need to get a few of those kind of conversations going, really, which are very, very awkward conversations to have. But we've only got so many people, if you know what I mean, and we need to be profitable to deliver the service. So I swear, I don't know if I've answered the question, but
I think it is. It's a complex issue, and we know it's a difficult thing, and we have to understand where our insurers are also in terms of the margins that they make.
Yes,
the market, all except there. Liam, without mentioning names, I'm sure you wouldn't. What kind of varying reactions have you seen from your customers? Because I know you deal directly, you deal through networks, etc. They're all different. Are some people reacting better than others?
Yeah, I think, to reiterate a lot of what Steve said, it's a very similar picture with the foreshore group. Obviously, you don't have the diversity of work streams that Steve has because we're solely insurance repairs. But certainly, weathering the storm would be the term at the moment. And we've seen opportunities coming out of COVID, for all the reasons Steve said, how companies not being able to deliver or going out of business or unable to cope. So although we are seeing an increase in opportunity, what we are seeing is an increase in our turnover. What we are seeing is a decrease in the margin because of all the impact of what we're trying to deliver. We're hoping that's going to stabilise. We keep looking to government, which I don't know. I think you need a hat with three bells on sometimes when you listen to some of that stuff. But I think with the vaccine programme and the double jabbing, the 10-day isolation, and hopefully mid-July when we see relaxation in some of these rules, I think that's a great thing. But I see a bigger impact coming into winter. I can see us all being locked down again, back to square one, with some of the issues that's going to create. So, yeah, just very, very worrying. But we're trying to stay positive and focused on delivering that service. So, we are getting great feedback from all the policyholders in the quality of what we are delivering. We're trying to continue with our commitments to training, as Steve is, with all the apprenticeship stuff. We've had a great year in terms of recruiting again to try and drive through some of the skill shortage. But it's a long process. And whether that process can keep up with the migration of trades, with the retirement of older tradespeople, I don't know. I just see some very, very challenging times ahead. But just really looking for that support so we can keep delivering and keep moving forward.
And I think, turning to you, Lee, finally in this short podcast, what we're hearing from the two guys is it's really tough out there, but we are resilient. We're committed to this industry, despite the fact that the other builders who share it might choose to go another way at the moment because there are more margins in there. But we've got really good resilient contractors all over the country that we know we can rely on. What's the next steps? As I look forward and we do this in 2 weeks, I'm wanting now to turn this into, we know the reality is there, we've proven that. How do we really help the industry to move forward? Because I go back, this is all about the end user, this is all about the policyholder and then being satisfied. And if we can't resolve this, that will cause issues in that area. So what do you think are the next steps we need to take to move the whole industry forward?
Unsurprisingly, I think for me, it's about this continued dialogue, isn't it? We Steve's touched on it. I guess historically we've always had a bit of a challenge about sort of joining the dots from insurer down to the kind of sharp end of the supply chain process. And I think it's almost about kind of developing that trust in the understanding of the model. So if you don't, if you can't see kind of beyond the first layer of your supply chain, I think you're always a little bit guarded about understanding some of these and being able to kind of open up and having sort of a sort of real conversation about where things are heading and where you might want to be able to sort of step in and make some of the changes. So I think it's absolutely about that sort of continued dialogue, but then the ability to kind of really focus in on where those bottlenecks are hitting now, where we're sort of predicting things that are going to continue to hit further downstream, and about sort of sharing some of the best practices. I think you've touched on some great stuff there about some, you know, the inefficiencies of the insurance process today. And I'm not saying it's you know, across the board. I'm you know, I'm sure there's different ways of working out there at the moment, some better than others. And it's about how do we take the good that we've developed through the relationships partnering in the industry and sort of, you know, help to sort of play that back out into the sort of wider processes today. So if you think about some of the things that you're asked to do in terms of, you know, taking, you know, X number of photographs and waiting for sort of approval on, you know, every sort of nuance of variations, as an example, and I can think back to some of the roles I played in the industry in the day. Those are sort of, you know, inefficiencies and challenges on your cost time that you frankly haven't got, you know, things. So are the barriers today that can be taken out by having, you know, the right sort of framework, the right sort of visibility, transparency between us all. So I think it's about how do we sort of, you know, have those sort of real conversations, really. And again, now data is always going to be always key in kind of my mind. Facilitates that.
I think that's key. I think what we've proved here today is we have a problem, and what I want us to do now, as we look forward to the next few weeks, is try and find a way forward. There is a problem; it's clear. What's not clear is how that problem's going to evolve. How long, if you separate, how long the supplies problem's going to last, as opposed to how long the availability of trades and labour is going to last. But thanks all. Just to remind everybody that all the views expressed here are not IMC views, they're the views of the panellists, and that's what makes it such a good and interesting chat that we have. If any of you listening to this, I'd really like to hear it, whether you're an insurer, a supplier, somebody in the middle somewhere, please contact me at alan@isleofclaims.com, because we really want to try and find out how we can move this forward and get the end user getting good customer service despite the problems that we have. As an industry, we pulled together absolutely terrifically over a year ago to deal with the pandemic. This is another issue that's arising. It will still be in the go at the ILC conference when we get there on the 11th of November, when we'll be talking about other challenges, because things like the environmental legislation in view is also impacting all of the stuff that we're dealing with just now. We've got to take a look at that. So thank you very much, guys, for doing that. Again, the plug that I've just mentioned, we have a conference 11th of November. We will be following this up with a webinar in a couple of weeks, so please do let me know what you think at alan@isleofclaims.com. If you're interested in anything commercially to do with the upcoming conference, either myself or my colleague Nick, N-I-C, at iloveclaims.com. Thank you very, very much for listening, and we'll be speaking with you again soon. Thanks for listening to this ILC podcast. My name is Alan Suter. I'm the chair of Home Commercial ILC. Thanks again to our fantastic corporate partners, CoreLogic, SiteCall, Synergy, iCab, SafeLine, Carpenters, and the Innovation Group. If you have anything you'd like to raise from today's podcast or anything else, please just drop me a note at alan@isleofclaims.com. Thanks for listening. We really appreciate it.